Bill Henry Show, and on the line with me just since the beginning of the actual pre-show is Stephen Bozell. Welcome, folks, though, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And our number, of course, as always, 855-500-7445. Now, there was something that occurred here in the city today that was quite shocking. It was, fortunately, it was an event that had a good outcome. The former great television star and one of the great legends of comedy and television, Dick Van Dyke, his car burst into flames on one of the local freeways. I've been trying to figure out which one it is, but I think it's probably either the 101 or the 405. But in any event, there he was in his Jaguar when the car literally burst into flames. And there's a couple of different looks at it that we were actually showing on our pre-show of this automobile that was on fire. Mr. Van Dyke was sitting in the front seat of the car. He was pulled to safety by a passing off-duty firefighter. He was not passed out. People thought that he was. He said he was calling 911 while the car was burning. And then after he'd gotten out of the car, the video taken by other interested citizens from another angle showed the automobile, at least the front part of the automobile, exploding or erupting in a manner toward the front of the car. It says here that Good Samaritans helped the 87-year-old Van Dyke and his wife Arlene from his Jaguar after he pulled the car over to the side of the vent. It was the Ventura Freeway in Calabasas. The fire occurred about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Arlene Van Dyke posted video online of the burned out. So she posted video online of the burned out car and the actor talking with police. Publicist Bob Palmer said Van Dyke was fine but slightly embarrassed and was appreciative of the instant help he got on the road. Van Dyke won 3 Emmys for his self-titled comedy show, and he also won a Tony for the musical Bye Bye Birdie. He shared a Grammy with Julie Andrews and for the soundtrack to Mary Poppins. So he's a very accomplished man. And Steve, when you were talking with me about your experience similar to this, it's not, though, is it?
No, I did not have the same experience as that. I thank God I knocked wood for that. Nonetheless, we don't want to by virtue of the fact that this was Mr. Van Dyke's, his accident was one that was newsworthy and noteworthy. We don't want to ignore the dangers that are present for all motorists every day.
All right, Steve Bozell joining us here, a construction contractor. Last summer, you were pulled from your car by a highway patrolman.
Yes, sir. He had thought that similar to Mr. Van Dyke, the highway patrolman had thought that I had been overcome by either carbon monoxide or some other toxic or a fume, because it appeared that I had passed out of my car, and of course I had.
All right, and again, just to restate, if you're joining us this afternoon on the 101 freeway in Los Angeles, Dick Van Dyke, his Jaguar burst into flames, and he was pulled to safety. He said in the interviews later, which I did see, he never was really in any danger. He was calling 911. I personally, I don't know how he could say that, though, because you don't know. The car did eventually, there was some pocket of fuel or gas or something that erupted, so there was an explosion. But he was pulled out of the car by passersby. And if you see pictures of the car tomorrow, you'll note it is completely done, man. I mean, the whole car is black and charred and destroyed. What happened in your situation? Was there any problem with the car?
No. What happened, Mr. Henry, is I was pulled from the car by the highway patrol because the officer, Officer Gordy, had said to me, I thought you were passed out. And so at that time, he said he gained access to my car and
did he have to break into the car?
No, sir. The car was unlocked. He reached in and pulled me away, and I told him at that time I was fine. Now, the circumstances were not like Mr. Van Dyke's because I was at no time in danger.
Were you passed out?
No, sir. I was not.
Okay. What happened was, well, you tell the story.
What happened was this officer really had no business opening the door and pulling me from my car.
Well, yeah, but the officer also had mistaken you for being in trouble, didn't he?
Well, the officer had said that he thought I was passed out or overcome by fume, and I said I was not overcome, And he said, well, you know, at that time then he did see. Now, the reason why I'm on your program, the reason I called your program, Mr. Henry, is because I want the people to understand something, that for no reason at all, I was pulled from my car by the California Highway Patrol, and I was the recipient of bad publicity. Mr. Van Dyke gets pulled out of his car, and it's on fire. While he's dialing 911, he gets good publicity. So I want to know how that works. So the next time, you know, we see a news story, I know how the average person is treated bad, and a movie star is treated good. And why is that?
Okay, well, how were you treated bad, though, sir? Because you told me that the highway patrolman was seriously, was doubtful as to your well-being.
I told you that's what he told me. Okay.
Well, all right. So what were you okay?
I was fine, but it's really nobody's business. All I'm saying is that he came to my car, he opened the door, and he pulled me out, and he said he thought that I was overcome by fumes. I said, no, I'm not overcome by fumes. And that's when I was placed under arrest. I wasn't placed under arrest. I was cited, and he said that he could arrest me, and I said, why? And he...
Well, all right, we're getting to the story now. You were in your car, and you were hunched over, but you were not passed out. You were doing something else.
I was not passed out, okay?
But you were hunched over.
I was not hunched over, sir. I was leaning over.
All right. And when he pulled you from the car, was your pants were undone or something?
See, this is the part of the story where I feel... This is the part of the story where I feel that the media tries to make the average citizen look bad, and the media tries to make the movie star or the celebrity look good. All I'm saying is I was minding my own business, I was not breaking no law, and I was then taken by the arm and pulled from the car.
It's because the officer thought you were in trouble?
Well, you know, then how come why did I get cited?
Because you were obviously engaged in some kind of a lewd act, right?
I was not engaged in a lewd act. I was engaged in an act that I don't consider lewd.
Well, I mean, but the officer cited you for this.
Yes, sir, he did. And for my way of thinking, it was wrong. And this did made a police blotter and was reported in our local paper, as well as obviously went on the record. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. And when the police officer came over, it was to help me. So you understand there is a terrible, terrible injustice done by this police officer pulling me from my car.
What were you doing, Mr. Bozell?
That's not important, you know.
Well, all right, so you were doing something that made it appear that you were sick.
No, I wasn't. No, it made it appear he thought I'd been passed out in the car.
All right, well, whatever he thought you were passed out in the car. But when he pulled you out of the car, your pants were undone, you were obviously in a state of undress, and that's when he cited you for... What did he cite you for, exactly?
He cited me for a lewd... Where is that? Cited lewd act, lewd behavior, creating a disturbance. I don't know how that, you know, and then resisting arrest, which I was not, or resisting police officer, excuse me, in the execution of his duty. And I said that this all never would have started had he not had come down and pulled me from my car.
Well, all right, here you had your pull over to the side of the road. Where were you, by the way?
I was in a rest stop.
You're in a rest stop, and you're doing what you're doing, which was obviously some kind of a sex act. You were alone.
That's correct.
Well, sir, I mean, look, Steve, you called the show, and you saw this story about Dick Van Dyke.
I saw it. The story about Dick Van Dyke was that this man gets pulled from his car and saved, and he gets a great deal of good publicity out of it. I get pulled from my car for no reason at all.
If it was not for any reason, why did he cite you?
He said because he was trying to save my life, and I said, you're trying to save my life? From what? From me?
I understand it's pretty emotional, but the two situations are not similar.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Henry.
And I know that you got bad publicity and Dick Van Dyke got good publicity, but the fact is you were engaged in this lewd act. Dick Van Dyke's car exploded. He gets pulled from his car and saved. You get pulled from your car and cited.
Yes, but he didn't pull me from the car to give me a ticket. He pulled me from the car to save me because he thought that I had I was going to pass out from he thought I was trying to kill myself. And I got out of the car and my pants are undone and down, and I said, no one who's going to kill himself is going to have their pants down like this. And he said, what do you know about it? And, you know, I got it.
All right, you're going to have to hold the line here, Steve. Stephen Bozell with us. Dick Van Dyke today was saved from a possible fatality when he was pulled from a burning car, his burning car, and passerbys, as I mentioned, got him out of that car. Now, Steve Bozell, a year ago, this similar situation to him, although not quite, he was pulled out of his car by a California Highway Patrolman who thought he was overcome by some sort of fumes. Turns out Steve was in his car, to be perfectly blunt, folks, masturbating, and the officer cited him for this. So he garnered a lot of bad publicity, and Dick Van Dyke, well, he got himself a whole bunch of good publicity today. So our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com as well. And you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, kicking off week two of the reboot. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, back with our guest Stephen Bozell. And Steve is talking to us about something that happened to him last summer, similar to what happened to Dick Van Dyke on the freeways of on a freeway in Southern California today, and that was the explosion of his car, and that's a pretty wicked thing, you know. His automobile blew, Dick Van Dyke's automobile blew up, and he was taken from the car and was safe. Steve, you were taken from your automobile, and you were cited because you had your pants part of the way down. And the question I have for you is, you are finding fault with the Highway Patrol for what reason?
I am simply having a fault with the Highway Patrol for pulling me out of my car when I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Even though he was trying to save your life?
Well, he wasn't saving my life, though, because...
I understand that, that your life was not in danger. I get that. But what was it about the, you know, in that situation, your life was not in danger. In that situation, you were still, it looked as if you were.
Right.
If you were in danger, did you not want the cop to come along and help you?
I would, yes. If I was in danger, I want him to come along and help me. But I was not in danger. And that's the difference. And that's something that these people don't, that in law enforcement they don't understand.
All right. In one case, you got a guy's car that's on fire, Dick Van Dyke's.
All right, but Sir, Mr. Henry, please don't raise your voice.
All right, I apologize. In one instance, you got Dick Van Dyke's car that has exploded, and it's on fire.
Yes, sir.
All right. In another instance, we have you, and all we have is a car and a guy that's hunched over.
Right, but, yes, sir.
Okay. In both cases, though, there's one thing in common. There's two guys that are, one case, Dick Van Dyke looks like he's passed out, and you look like you've passed out.
Yes, sir.
His case, he was not, but they did save him. Your case, you were not, and they didn't save you from anything.
Yeah, and there's the difference. There's the difference, right? There's the difference, because Dick Van Dyke was not saved. He was saved from a flaming car, and I was not saved, okay, from the flaming car. And I did not need saving. He did.
All right. Because you were pulled from this situation where you didn't need any saving, something was discovered, and that was that you had been engaged in a lewd act.
Yeah, well, what happened was, the officer, by trying to save me from, see, I can't, you know, it's hard for me to explain, and when I try to explain, everyone thinks the wrong thing, which is that I'm, something's wrong with me, or however you want to say it. And what I've been trying to say is that the thing that happened to me...
I tell you what, we got Terry Engel. I know you know who Terry Engel is, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Terry is a local disc jockey who first had you on his program, I guess, about 6 months ago as you were trying to describe this to Terry. And we'll get him on the line here. He is in Los Angeles. Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Phil. How are you, Steve? Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing very good. Steve, when you come on my program, we had talked about this, and I, at that time, I thought I had you understanding that the Los Angeles sheriff, I think it was, or was it Highway Patrol?
I think he said it was Highway Patrol.
Yes, sir. It was Highway Patrol. Yes, sir.
You said to me that you felt that the Highway Patrolman did the right thing and you had no problems. Now, how come you're on this program today saying that you feel they did cause a problem?
Well, you know, your mind is going to get changed a little bit when I seen Dick Van Dyke. You know, all of a sudden everyone is going to him and saying, Dick Van Dyke, we're grateful that you're safe, and no one knows the injustice that was done to me.
And what injustice is that? Because when you was on my program, you said you felt at the end that you were doing this loot act and the police officer did the right thing by citing you.
Well, he, as soon as he found out that I was engaged in what you call a loot act, and yeah, okay, yes, it was a loot act, then he cited me, but he had no...
You feel what happened was Steve was on my program, and we do a neighborhood watch segment of our program. And
now, where are you located, Terry?
Well, our show is out of San Bernardino.
Okay.
And I said to Steve, now, what do you feel has been done to you? And he said, I feel that they cited me for a reason they never would have had I not been hunched over. I said, well, why are you hunched over? He said, well, because I was doing what I was doing.
Yes, sir, that's right. But why did the officer...
Well, see, that was my whole point to you. I said, well, now, look, if the officer had done nothing, he would not be doing his job. He thought you were in danger.
See, that's the whole thing there, Steve. The cop thinks you're in danger. He's going to come over, and he's going to try to help you. Okay?
I understand that the cop's going to come over and try and help me. I understand that. But there was nothing wrong with me. Okay? There was nothing wrong with me.
Right, but why do you think the police officer then should... How would the police officer know that?
If he's doing his job, he's going to know whether there's something wrong with me or not.
So you think that the cop should have known there was nothing wrong with you just by virtue of what?
There were he's a police officer. Okay? He's a police officer.
And what if there was something wrong with you? He would have done the right thing, right?
There wasn't anything wrong with me. The only thing that could be wrong with me is if there was something else that was happening, like if I was pulled my pants down and I got... I don't know. You know, it got caught or something.
Well, this was the conversation you and I had, Steve, and I still don't understand what it is you're trying to say.
Well, what Steve, it sounds to me like you're trying to say is that the cops need to know almost magically, okay, whether you're in trouble or whether you're not.
No, I did not know. Sir, I did not say magically.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the cop needs to know if you're in trouble or not, and he cannot really take from the situation anything other than just some instinct, because you being hunched over a wheel could mean you've passed out, or it could mean that you're pulling your pants down.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry,
he doesn't like the way you said pull your pants down, Phil. You said the same thing to me, Steve. When I said pull your pants down, you said I was being mean to you.
Well, because you're on your program, you'll pull your pants down.
That's what I was trying to point out to my audience, that's all.
And I had not made any joke about you. Well,
you know what? This is he said he didn't make no joke about me stuttering because I had started to stutter like Mel Tillis. I'd do that. That's a part of my act.
Well, I hadn't made no joke about it.
All right, look, I don't want to talk about this, guys. I appreciate it, Terry, very much you being on the program as we continue here. And Steve, can you hang on the line?
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Terry Engel there from... he's got his own radio show as well as some kind of a dance show, and he's got a talk show too. And he had Steve Bozell on the line asking Steve about this incident that Steve feels outraged by. He's pulled out of his car by a California Highway Patrolman who thought he was in trouble. Turns out he wasn't in trouble at all. He was just he had his pants off. So in that instance, he gets a ticket. Dick Van Dyke was in trouble. His car exploded and burned. There's the difference, as far as I can tell. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and the backstage passes are there. They are to be had for you. All you have to do is sign up and get a BSP, and you'll get close to 5,000 hours of our audio, as well as our daily podcast, as well as our classic podcast, which we have available to you. And the Bobby Dooley podcast is cranking up again at the end of this week. And we're going to have her on later on, as a matter of fact, to talk about it. She's got a very, very special super special, super groovy, super marvelous guest coming up on Mm-hmm, the Bobby Dooley podcast, which will be ahead later on this week. This is like a, as they say in the showbiz world, it's a real get. The Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445 and philhenryshow.com. Famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. And we were talking here with Stephen Bozell about Highway Patrol courtesy and etiquette and everything, and it is true that Dick Van Dyke, the movie star, was pulled out of a burning car, but he's okay. And Steve, I got to tell you, I think it's good that you're okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you did get cited because, as it turns out, you weren't doing anything that you needed to be saved from so much as you were doing something that was, against the law. Margaret?
Well, Steve, this is Margaret Gray. What became of the problem? Did you have to pay a ticket or pay a fine?
I had to pay a fine, and I had to pay, I had to pay monies for a fine, and I had to appear before a magistrate, and I had to, you name it, that's what I had to do.
All right, and why is this so emotional for you?
Because of the fact.
Because of Dick Van Dyke, right?
Just let me finish, all right?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, let him say something.
Because of Dick Van Dyke, and because of the accolades and everything that he gets, I didn't get any of it, And it seems to me that,
Well, but you also had to go through the humiliation of people finding out you were masturbating. Is that right?
I'd appreciate if you didn't.
Well, we have to, Steve. We got to explain what was going on.
Well, what do you mean explain? I mean,
we have to tell people what it was you were cited for.
See, that what I told the I told Terry Inglis on his show, that immediately prejudices me against, they prejudice me against, against everything.
They prejudice you against what?
Against people thinking I'm okay because they found out I was masturbating, and Dick Van Dyke, all he was doing was sitting in a car.
See, when I talked to Steve earlier, he felt that the indictable one was Dick Van Dyke, because Dick Van Dyke, in his opinion, was sitting in a burning automobile, which constitutes or amounts to a stupid thing to do.
And also, it borders almost on immoral that you'd let your car burn on a freeway.
That it borders on immoral that you'd let your car burn on a freeway, okay.
Yes, and that Steve was well off of the freeway. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
See, she can do that.
Would you not do that, please?
I apologize. I had a veggie burger.
You know what? Do it. Go ahead.
I'm saying that Stephen Bozell, what I'm saying is, Steve, you say it.
What she's saying and what I was trying to say.
Neither one of you guys is saying anything, okay? You're not saying anything. Just because his car blew up on a freeway doesn't make him morally compromised. And because you're off of a freeway in a rest stop doesn't mean that you're one of life's great people, all right? So, Steve, the fact of the matter is, whether the guy is dumb because his car blew up, or whether he's unfortunate, or whether he's unlucky, or whether he's got a lousy car, or whether, whatever, he comes out looking better than you do because you were at a rest stop masturbating and his car was on fire.
And a guy whose car is on fire comes out looking better than me.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does, unfortunately.
Even though
other people could have burned alive.
What other people could have burned alive?
The people on the freeway, Mr. Henry.
Well, yeah. Then if you want to put it that way, yeah. Even though other people were endangered, yeah. That's just how it happens.
Well, and I think, Steve, the other thing is that Dick Van Dyke is Dick Van Dyke. You are no one. Not because you haven't done anything, but because you're...
Yeah, you're no one.
I'm no one. Boy, oh boy.
All right, well, did he hang up?
Yeah, line just went red.
Great.
Hey.
You figured that one out, bud, huh?
Well, you'll find out it goes red, man. Of course he hung up.
Yeah, they asked me if he hung up.
I can tell a guy hung up by hearing the click.
Well, then why did you ask?
Because I wanted to give him... Never mind. You know, a guy whose car blows up on a freeway, whether he's endangering the lives of other people, I don't even think he is, because you don't know exactly why the car blew up. If the car blew up because of some negligence on his part, if he wired sticks of dynamite to his own car, you know...
Hey, he was going to try and commit suicide or something like that?
On a freeway.
I don't know. If he did something to cause the car to blow up and endanger the lives of others, then you've got a story there. But if the guy is just another one of life's hapless victims, like we have so many, and in this case he happens to be a famous guy, which is the case because it's Dick Van Dyke, then he gets a lot of publicity and people feel bad for him. If you're someone that nobody knows and you're engaged in some lewd act at a rest stop, no one is going to give you a break. I don't give a damn if he wasn't hurting anybody. It doesn't make any sense. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, is how all of that ends. He's in his car in a hunched position. Unbelievable. And thank you very much, Terry Engel. I appreciate very much the phone call from his show, the Terry Engel Show out there in San Bernardino. There are some snapshots of the royal baby. The UK royal baby, new photos of Prince George released by Kensington Palace. You see these?
Yes, I did see them, and I don't like the manipulation of the media. I don't like the manipulation of public opinion by Kensington Palace and the royal family. Now, I understand the royals have their agenda. They obviously want to spin this as positively as they can. But I just think it's dirty pool releasing pictures of an infant, a baby, obviously very cute. Obviously, no one is going to say anything bad about the baby because babies are babies. And I think it's really a manipulation of public opinion.
Well, what are they going to say about this man, Prince William? What are they going to say about it? What negative publicity could they possibly be garnering otherwise, you know? It's their baby, and babies get good publicity.
I just think that the royal family and all of the royals, they all benefit from this kind of thing. You can't say anything bad about them. They're always having babies. They're always getting married.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do.
What do you mean that's what they're supposed to do?
So you're saying that because they're getting married and they're having babies, you can never really think badly of them?
Not really, no. I think anyone that thinks ill of the royal family has no real reason. They have no real reason. There's a lot of made-up reasons, but there's no real reason because they are not really very political. They're rich. They have good-looking babies. They get married.
Well, I mean, you're making a point there.
I know I'm making a point, but it's the point. It's not just a point. I'm making the point.
Yeah, you're talking about making a point. What's your point?
Are you an idiot or something?
Hey, watch it, okay?
What are you asking me a question like that for?
I don't know. You said, what's your point?
My point is the royal family is, they're Teflon. They are made of bulletproof materials. You can't get at them. God, you don't know. The years I would have loved to have pulled that fat cat. I would have loved to have pulled that fat cat right off of her heel.
Well, yeah, that's spoken like a real American. But the fact is, you're right. The royal family, you can't criticize them. Other than the fact that they are rich and and that's it. And they're royal, man. There's no reason. And now they released the pictures of their infant. And there you go, man. It's a nice, cute, great story. People want to see stories like that. She's holding the swaddled George.
What's swaddle?
Well, that's another thing. Swaddled used to mean almost suffocated, squeezing the life right out of the brat. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said brat.
Boy, oh boy, Margaret. Swaddled is just wrapped in a blanket, okay?
Yeah, like a swaddling cloth. swaddling clothes.
Yes. They're accompanied on the left. Well, these are pictures of Tilly, their retriever. And then there's a Cocker Spaniel. And, yeah, there's the baby, man. So what are you going to do? People dig it. They want to see the kid. And they're going to see the kid. And I bet you those pictures, you know, are probably worth a few quid, as they say, to whoever got them published for. I don't know.
Well, no one publishes it first because it's...
I could get on the line, little Ian. I don't know who to talk to about this, but what they do is they release the photographs. They're officially released, so nobody really gets the scoop. You know, no one is getting the scoop on this stuff. Everybody is, everyone is essentially getting the stuff equally. All right, coming up here on the world. So the UK royal baby released by Kensington Palace. Didn't I hear that he said the kid is really smart? The kid's only a few days old. How smart can he be?
Yeah, he said it's like opening up car doors and stuff.
He ain't opening up no car doors, man. He's only days old.
You don't know, though.
We don't really know what this child is capable of.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not opening up any car doors. At least I don't think. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. The Obamas have a new dog. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later on, as well as other news. Carolyn Kennedy is reportedly worth $300 million. And there's also been a report on that exploding, that limousine that burned on the Golden Gate Bridge. All of that and more coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Backstage pass. Man, I'll tell you what, you can't. It's even better than listening to the show right now. Get a backstage pass and go on over and get a... get access to all of those hours and hours and hours of awesome audio on our website at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley coming up with a brand new podcast this week. And we released the name, special secret, top secret name to our BSPs tonight. And you'll find out in the days ahead who Bobby's going to be interviewing this week. World famous Phil Henry Show. What is this music, man?
Well, I had.
Jeez. I mean, it's not that I don't like Gladys. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. What the hell is this?
Gladys, not a poop.
What's wrong with this?
I don't think that's good bumper music. You know something, you guys? You spend way too much time with a bumper music. Just play rock and roll in here, okay? Do you mind?
Well, what got up your ass?
And do you mind watching your language, too?
Yeah, something crawl up your ass.
I'm going to start swinging on some people around here. Just play some rock and roll. I don't need to listen to Gladys Knight and the Pips and whatever the hell that other thing was.
No, Grand Funk.
Grand Funk. Keep that crap out of my head. Just straight ahead. Just... Anyway, welcome back, folks. Oh, it's Monday, all right, man. We had some bad weather over the past week. Nothing but cloud cover. And it was getting worse, and it was cool, and it just wasn't summertime, and it was creeping me out. So I got on the phone here this afternoon, and I decided I'd get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us, who is a doctor of psychology in San Diego. Dr. Ron Tarner is going to rejoin us. Dr. Tarner was with us Friday night. Dr. Tarner, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good.
And Dr. Sadler.
Hey, Phil.
Let's start with you, Dr. Sadler. You're a psychologist. What does bad weather do to people?
Well, bad weather can cause, a depletion of certain neurotransmitters. There are neurotransmitters that one needs, melatonin, and...
What do you call that?
It's called who's this?
Well, this is Dr. Tarter.
Yeah, Dr. Tyler's call. You know what it's called.
I understand. I just wondered if you did.
Yes, I do.
What's it called?
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on for a minute.
Well, no, I've been through this before, Mr. Henry. I've been on programs with this gentleman, and he hasn't known his terms.
What are you talking about? I don't know my terms. Yes, I do know my terms. It's melanin. Melanin.
Well, you said melatonin.
Why are you dogging him like this?
Yeah, I'd like to know that. Why?
Because the last program that I was on with you, Dr. Sadler, if I may call you doctor, you are a doctor, right?
Yes, are you?
Well, I can assure you, yes, I am.
Maybe I'd like to see those credentials.
All right, guys, I'm going to hang up on both of you if we're going to start off this way.
I was on a program with you, Dr. Sadler, you might remember, a few months ago, and we were on a panel together. And you said that I had no business talking about certain things because I was an astronomer.
Well, you are an astronomer, which means I don't think if you're an astronomer, what do you know about medicine?
Mr. Henry has me on his program.
Well, you said that you were well-versed in medicine and...
Well, see, that's just it. All you know is look up... If I wanted to find out about the Mars or something...
The Mars?
Well...
Why don't you guys just allow me...
I think it's wrong. He's going to start asking me my credentials.
I can assure you that my credentials are sound.
All right, I will be the guy that decides on credentials. All I'm asking about... Let me tell you something, gentlemen. I'm talking about mood here tonight, right? Well, I'm about ready to throw a couple of guys off the air here if I don't start getting some answers to the questions that I am asking. So I'm asking both of you guys about the weather and about the effects it has on mood.
It sounds to me like it's not doing too good to your mood. You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But look, Phil, you know... The moon.
All right, get them out of here, will you? Call those guys back and tell them that they can't stop arguing. I won't have them back on.
Yeah, hello, Dr. Tyre. Mr. Henry said that if you don't stop...
Don't do it on the air right now, man, so I can hear you. 855-500-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show. So in any event, the weather has been cloudy. It's been uncharacteristically cloudy, uncharacteristically overcast. And the sun just came out today.
And what do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, it could be a hurricane in Mexico. It could be a collection of different weather patterns and different things that are going on. I have no idea. But it has been a ugly, ugly bunch of stuff, you know, and I can only hope that somehow it improves here over the next, say, few weeks. I hope we get some kind of summer. Are they okay?
Yeah, they said that they'll sharpen up.
Now, they're in San Diego. Where are you guys at, anyway?
We're at the Grand Hyatt, Phil, and having dinner, and Dr. Tarnow's here.
Okay, Phil, you want me to go?
You go ahead.
All right. Well, see, he's going over for dessert. Can I ask you a question, Phil?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but as soon as he handed me the phone, he went over for dessert.
I thought that's going to go get it.
I understand that. All right.
What difference does it make?
I'm sorry?
What difference does it make?
Because we finished our meal, and I saw that they had some of this, these brownies that I like. Big deal, okay?
Yeah, big deal. So go ahead.
Are you getting the brownies you want?
Yeah, it's really good.
Are you upset more about not getting brownies for dessert?
Yeah, you want your brownie.
Excuse me, is that Mr. Dickman?
Hold on, just shut up, bud. Dr. Tarnow, I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
All right, I'm sorry. The mood that is affected, Phil, yes. Dr. Sadler was right. It is melanin, and melanin is a kind... Well, first of all, melanin is what keeps our skin... healthy, gives the coloration to our skin that we need. It also keeps the skin healthy, and melanin is also, it helps us sleep. Melatonin is the skin, melanin is for sleep. Now, if we don't get enough of that, can I just stop for a minute, Phil? What kind of brownie was it?
They had...
Okay, guys,
Here, take the phone, will you?
Phil, he's having his dessert.
No, I was talking to Dr. Tarnow. Get him back on the phone.
Well, he's having dessert.
I don't care if he's having dessert.
He's pissed off.
You're on phone.
So, Dr. Tarnow, you were having some dessert, and you were explaining about melatonin and melanin?
Well, who wants to go to
the therapy? He's chewing on the dessert. Mr. Henry, I know you didn't say this. Mr. Henry wants to know what do you got in your mouth. So, Phil, we do know that this kind of weather, dark weather, cloudy, overcast weather, is going to affect mood. That's probably what's wrong with you. I shouldn't say what's wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with me, man, that getting some guests on this show that have got their heads up out of their asses is not going to solve, all right? So tell me again that stuff I already know.
Yeah, it's that the weather affects mood. And here's Dr. Turner.
We let you down tonight, I know that.
No, you didn't let me down. Whoever booked you two jackasses let me down.
Well, you said you wanted to have them on.
Thank you very much, and good. Why are you guys down there?
Well, we're vacation.
The two of you together?
Yeah.
No, our wives are with us, too. What a...
That's right, yeah, our wives are with us, too. Only they're at a different hotel. I'm kidding.
What is this, all of a sudden shtick night or something?
Phil, I think you have to blame yourself for this. When you put these people on the air and you let them get away with one joke, then they'll get away with two, and the next thing you know, everyone's a comedian. Everybody wants to get into the act.
Everybody wants to get into the act is right. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Ron Turner and Dr. Jim Sadler. In any event, as I was saying, the weather sucks, but maybe it'll get a little bit better next hour. All right, we're going to get into some sports talk next hour. We are going to get Joe Dickhead and the professor on here with us to talk about sports, to talk about the upcoming National Football League season and some of the other things that have been flying by the radar on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show here, our second hour here, our second week here, reboot week. 855-500-7445. Wow. 855-5, what the hell am I doing here, man? I'm in between my throat going. 855-500-7445.
Well, you should take a drink of water. Son.
Yeah, I did take a drink of water. I've taken a drink of coffee. I've taken a drink of just about everything you can take a drink of and still function. And I think it's just the time of year. You know, the air is dry and you know, the cotton's high and your mama's good looking.
What?
It's just, never mind, bud. So we have with us Don Mixa. Don is a engineering professor at the University of Washington in Seattle. We're going to talk about a hacker from Palestine who was able to hack into Facebook. And I don't know why that makes me smile, but anyway, after discovering a privacy bug on Facebook, unemployed Palestinian programmer Khalil Shriateh said he just wanted to collect the traditional $500 bounty the social network offers to those who voluntarily expose its glitches. But when Facebook ignored his first two reports, Shriateh took the message to the top. He hacked into Mark Zuckerberg's personal page to prove his point. Now, you got to love that.
I don't know.
Well, hold on. What do you mean you don't know? That's fantastic.
I do not think that hacking into a man such as Mark Zuckerberg's private computer, his private Facebook page, is constructive at all. This is a man that employs people, that has started a business worth billions.
All right, well, just hold on before we start. Let me finish the story. So this guy busts into Mark Zuckerberg's personal page. Sorry for breaking your privacy, he wrote to the Facebook founder. I had no other choice. Actually, he wrote, I has no other choice. I guess they had to make him look stupid. You know, you guys, I'm telling you, Associated Press and the rest of the Western press, I'm kidding.
Dude, they're trying to make him look dumb.
Well, either they're quoting him accurately, or they misquoted him, or if they are quoting him accurately, they usually clean quotes like that up. I has no other choice to make after all the reports I sent the Facebook team. As you can see, I am not in your friend list, and yet I can post to your timeline. Well, the stunt cost the 30-year-old Palestinian the bounty, but earned him praise. The numerous job offers for being able to get to the boss of the world's most ubiquitous social network. Why would it cost him the bounty? Why would Facebook not pay off? They said $500 if you can expose a glitch in their security or otherwise hack into their system. $500, that seems a little cheap. And they ignored his first two requests. And then when he finally hacked into Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook page, it says it cost him the bounty. but it did earn him praise and numerous job offers for being able to get to the boss of the world's most ubiquitous social network. Shriatay, who lives near the West Bank city of Hebron and has been unable to find a job since graduating 2 years ago with a degree in information technology, told Facebook that he found a bug that allowed anyone to post on anyone else's wall. I told him that you have a vulnerability and you need to close it. I wasn't looking to be famous. I just wanted to make a point to Mark. First name basis sounds right to me. In a message posted to the Hacker News, a user-friendly security news site, Facebook software engineer Matthew Jones said the initial report was poorly worded, although he acknowledged that the Menlo Park company should have pressed for more information. As a few other commentators have pointed out, we get hundreds of reports every day. Many of our best reports come from people whose English isn't great. Though this can be challenging, it's something we work with just fine, and we've paid out over $1 million to hundreds of reporters. However, many of the reports we get are nonsense or misguided, and even those provide some modicum of reproduction instructions. Nevertheless, he said, we should have pushed back asking for more details here. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, what they're saying is that there was not enough information.
Yeah, that's what Phil's saying.
Phil isn't saying that. I'm saying that.
Well, I don't know whose side you're on here, but let me get on a guy who I think I understand whose side he's on, Don Mixa from the University of Washington. All right, Don, so you heard the report here, and Facebook is saying that there should have been more information, that they're saying that it was a poorly worded report. They're saying that they get thousands, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of these kinds of reports. They've paid out $1 million. So is Facebook right in not paying this guy the bounty?
Well, I think Facebook, and by the way, Phil, thank you for having me on your program this evening.
My pleasure.
You know, I think Facebook is, as this gentleman said, Facebook is the most phenomenal business success story, I think, in our times. And they have consumers as well as hangers-on, as well as employees. They've got an awful lot going on. And I think that for them to just automatically say, well, okay, thank you very much for showing us up. Here's your $500, I think is a little silly. I think that this man that hacked into their system, this Palestinian, represents a couple of liabilities. First of all, here's a guy that is clearly from a part of the world that's a little bit hostile, but let's just leave that where it is, and let's talk about the fact that he hacked into Mark Zuckerberg's personal Facebook page. This is a violation of security and privacy that has to be taken seriously by police and should be taken seriously by police because, as I said, Mr. Zuckerberg has the most phenomenal business success story of our times.
Wait. I think you're not addressing something here.
Well, what is that?
The fact that Facebook is asking for people...
No, I understand that. I was getting to that.
Okay, because you're saying that the police ought to be informed. Why should the police be informed?
The police should be informed because this man went above and beyond exposing the glitch. He hacked right into the private account of a man who has created the most, and I'll say it again, the most phenomenal success story. There's no businessman listening to this broadcast tonight, no businesswoman listening to this broadcast tonight. There's no individual listening to this broadcast tonight that's been more successful than Mark Zuckerberg. Think about that. There's no one listening to a talk show in any form today, yesterday, or tomorrow. And there's no person, I don't think, in the United States of America that has made as much money as Mark Zuckerberg in as short a period of time. Now, put all of that together and what have you got? You have a man that has climbed a mountain faster, higher, and with more skill and flair than anyone in the history of business anywhere in the world. And when a guy like that is assaulted by an individual from Palestine or the Palestinian Authority, and he's a Jew.
Now, okay, hold on. Hold on for just a second.
No. Phil, I just want to bring these points out.
Yeah, but hold on for a minute. Now, are you telling me that this is some kind of a terrorist assault?
No, I'm just simply saying to you that in any other area of life, if this were to happen, this would have gotten the interest of the National Security Association. It would have gotten the interest of Homeland Security. I don't even think it should, but I am saying that this guy should consider himself lucky that they did not bring the full force of the federal government down on top of him.
All right, we're going to be back here with Don Mixa to talk a little bit more here about this story. Mark Zuckerberg's personal Facebook account hacked into by a young man, an unemployed programmer on the West Bank of Palestine. 2 years ago, he graduated with a degree in computer programming, hasn't found a job yet. He's hacked into Mark Zuckerberg's account. He hacked into Facebook in general. He showed up certain security glitches. They do pay a $500 bounty for these kinds of glitches if they are made aware of them, and yet they haven't paid this guy. So we'll get back here. Don Mixa thinks that what this guy did, far from deserving a bounty, this guy ought to be arrested by the federals. He's Palestinian. Mark Zuckerberg's Jewish. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Uh-oh. What is that? You're going to have to dump that, too, and dump that, and dump that, and dump... Sorry about that, Shane. What is that, bud?
That's the police.
That ain't the police. That was NWA. Sorry. Sorry about that bumper music there, guys. And anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, that is going to get...
Never mind, I got it under control. Bud, don't ever do that again, man. If you don't know N from P, NWA to police, that's two different letters of the alphabet. Anyway, welcome back to the program, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, our number here is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. On the line with me is Don Mixa from the University of Washington. We're talking with him about, we're talking with Don here about the Facebook founder, Mark Zuckerberg, having his account hacked into, his own personal Facebook account hacked into, as the result of a young programmer who was looking to score the bounty that Facebook traditionally pays when you find a security problem or you find some hole in their firewall or something. When you prove to Facebook that they suck, at least at something, and I don't mean that they suck, but that they are, you know, that they're suspect in terms of their ability to protect their site, they pay a $500 bounty. So tell me again here, Don, why they're not paying.
Well, they, first of all, Phil, I think that was badly worded. They don't suck at all. Facebook is the most phenomenal.
I understand. You've already laid out their credentials.
Well, I think that they need to be laid out because you've got this Palestinian. I'm not a snob. I don't think that because a young man comes from a part of the world that is a third world area, maybe it's given birth to or given rise to some terrorist or criminal elements. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with him, but I think if you look at this thing from a purely objective point of view. There's no reason why the NSA, the CIA, FBI, other security apparatus of the United States wasn't looking into a Palestinian hacking into Mark Zuckerberg. Are you there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, that's fine.
He's Jewish.
There you go, yeah. And
all right, you can say that.
I don't feel I have to. I mean, all I'm saying to you is it seems obvious to me.
All right. Well, they didn't do it, and that's that. And I suppose the people at Facebook could file a police report if they wanted to, but they would look awfully bad, I think, in the eyes of everybody that uses their service slash whatever the hell you call it.
Well, it's a service. It's more than a service. It's become a vital communications instrument if you want to know the truth about Facebook. It is a vital communications instrument, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm saying that what this guy did is he hacked into the personal Facebook page of one of the top, if not the top, individuals, I think, in business today because of the business that he oversees.
So, Don, this is Margaret. Are you saying, then, that Facebook is an indispensable part of people's lives?
I would say so.
I know there's a lot of people who don't use Facebook.
I'm sure you know a lot of people, Phil. You know a lot of those Twitter snobs, and you know, I don't have any comment on that. I mean, Twitter's fine, but the overwhelming number of people using social media is the people using Facebook. And Margaret just said it very well. It is an indispensable part of people's lives. And now you have a man who has decided that he's going to go in and compromise that.
But he wanted the and here's the thing you guys are missing, I think. He wanted the $500 bounty.
Yes, we know that.
Phil, we already know that, okay?
All right. We know that? Okay, tell me something. Why don't we know this? Why hasn't it been paid? Do we know that?
Don?
It hasn't been paid because they were reviewing exactly how this Palestinian was able to work his way into the inner workings of Facebook, and they were reviewing, and they were still collating. And that's when he decided to take a fateful and fatal step, and that was to hack into Mark Zuckerberg's press. I think when you do that, all bets are off.
Why? Why is that? They ignored him for, as far as he was concerned.
Well, maybe as far as he was concerned.
Well, they'd ignored the guy. He hadn't gotten any response. They had not paid the $500, and so he decided to go the extra mile.
Phil, there is a system, or there's a method. Correct me if I'm wrong, Don. There is a method that you are supposed to follow in order to get the money. Isn't that what we're talking about here? The money?
That's exactly what we're talking about. This guy wants his money, you know?
Yeah, this is what he wants to get, his money. And so, in order to get his money, there are a few hoops for the man to jump through.
Yeah, that's what you want to see, a Palestinian guy jump a hoop.
No, we're not talking about that.
Hey, bud, that's a pretty good point. So you guys want to see the Palestinian guy do dog tricks. Is that it?
That is a slander. I didn't say anything of the sort.
Yeah, do you want to see him jump in a hoop?
I don't want to see him jump in a hoop. I didn't say jump in a hoop. You mean jump through one?
Look it. Why does this guy have to go through a lot of machination, a whole bunch of gymnastics, whatever you want to call it, to get his money?
Because the guy wasn't patient. And he decided to go into Mr. Zuckerberg's personal Facebook page. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't go into the private business of a man responsible for billions and billions of dollars a day in the global economy. A day in the global economy. And some guy sitting in a Mason block, I don't know what, adobe stucco house on the seething, burning banks of the Palestinian Authority, with no future, one of those cast-off bargain basement leather jackets, and he's got no choice now than to just go ahead and strap that bomb on. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand. You know what? What I'm hearing here is a great deal of prejudice, Don.
No. No, sir. No, you're not. You're not hearing prejudice at all.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, one of those bargain basement leather jackets. Why doesn't he strap the bomb on in the adobe house?
No, you know what, Phil? What I'm saying to you is the reality. There's a lot of guys sweating buckets over there right now. They wish they were him.
Well, you know, it's to this young man's credit that he is attempting to, make a name for himself in any way that he can to bust out of his situation. And he did it in a very creative way, in a very innovative way.
Look, Phil, no one is criticizing the young man. I know that Don was very sharp in how he characterized the young man, but I think he was criticizing him. Don was saying, what choice would the young man have but for to him to, you know, Phil?
I'm waiting.
Well, I got lost. Don, do you know?
Yeah, what Margaret's saying is, he's a young man, and he is, and she's right. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm saying, what chance and choice is left to him but for him to
strap on.
To put a strap on. Well, a strap on?
No, a bomb. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yes, the bomb.
I wasn't talking about a strap on. Yes, a bomb.
All right. I'm saying, Don Mixa, I don't know about Margaret. I don't know anything about strap-ons either.
Nor do I, thank you.
All right, I'm saying that I, Don Mixa, I would not want him coming at me wearing a
bomb.
Thank you, yes, a bomb. I almost said strap-on.
Well, I wouldn't want him coming at me wearing a strap-on.
Ow!
Shut up.
Hey.
So I'm saying that while the young man chose a creative way of trying to get out of his dilemma, I think that there but for the grace of God go I.
You haven't said one thing here that has changed my opinion.
Well, that's not That goes without. So when you're dealing with a closed-minded blockhead like you, Phil...
Hey, 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 pal. You haven't said one thing that's changed my opinion or my mind because you haven't really said anything. You have not said to me why this young guy is not entitled to his $500 bounty. At this particular point in the game, I think the guy's entitled to a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, these probably should get billions.
Take it easy, bud, will you?
Oh, billions. Is that right, genius?
Why billions? You know, Dave, did you ever take math?
Take it easy. Take it easy. I'll answer the questions. You're not Bud. Shut up, Bud.
Yeah, I think the guy is old, too.
Okay, and Robert, but the point that I'm making here is that this kid deserves something, and he hasn't gotten it.
And you're not listening to what I'm saying, Phil. I'm saying that Mark Zuckerberg is a heavy hitter. You don't go hacking into his account and expect to walk away from it without limping. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's a very good point, Phil. Mark Zuckerberg is the man, and you hack into his account, and you'll walk away. You'll walk away with your...
Are you okay? Never mind. I think I said it very well.
All right. Well, he said walk away with a limp, and you said you'll walk away with what?
You'll walk away with a one leg.
Okay. We had to dump that.
Thank you.
Our number here is 855-500-7445. So hacking into Mark Zuckerberg's personal account at Facebook may cost this young Palestinian man more than just a forfeiture, if you will, of the so-called bounty. But they feel that this is something for national security because he is, in point of fact, a Palestinian. And that Mr. Zuckerberg is, in point of fact, a Jewish person. And, you know, I think it's just sad to be talking about these things in these terms because, hey, you know what? The kid did what he was asked to do by Facebook. If you turn out, if it turns out that they have some sort of a security glitch, go ahead and talk to him about it. Show him. You know, let him know that you're on the job and let him know that you are very much in need of that bounty, man. So in any event, they're not paying. Facebook isn't paying. We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 855-500-7445 and philhendryshow.com. Every show here, 855-500-7445, 855-700-445. And welcome to the reboot of the reboot of the real world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And remember, a backstage pass gives you access to 5,000 hours of audio on our website. It's a very interesting world that we're living in these days. It is a world that is now approaching near total conversion to digital, and by that I mean the old ways of doing things as opposed to the new ways of doing things, and we're just trying to keep up around here. So you get yourself a backstage pass, you can watch nightly video casts of our show, listen to every single show that we've done since, the late 1990s, three solid hours of each show, plus you have a daily archival podcast and a daily show podcast and so much more. It's made everything possible. Our subscribers and the people that have supported us down through the years have made every single thing possible, including the relaunch here of our radio show, here with you good folk. So that's what we're doing right now. And with me on the line from Seattle, Washington, is Don Mixa. Don is a professor of engineering there, and we also have Margaret Gray with us and taking your phone calls at 855-500-7445. The discussion here is about Mark Zuckerberg. It's about Facebook. And Facebook, the phenomenal business success story that it is, according to you, Don, and of course I agree with that, is a huge, huge enterprise that has had influence far beyond any influence any company has ever had. And for this guy in on the West Bank of the Palestinian Authority there, or you know, to hack into Zuckerberg's Facebook page is beyond the pale, in your opinion.
I think it is, Phil. I think that I just I think it takes a lot of guts for a guy to say, I think I'll hack into your Facebook page.
All right, but this is the head of Facebook who asked people to do this.
Yeah, he did. He asked people to show up the security glitches that the company has got. He asked people to show up the security problems that Facebook has, and they would pay a $500 bounty. But I don't think anybody in their right mind, I certainly didn't, and I've been a long-time admirer of Mark Zuckerberg, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought anybody would have the guts, let alone the skill, to actually hack into Mark Zuckerberg's personal Facebook page. Now, that changes the game.
Why?
Why does it change the game?
Yeah, why would that change the game?
Because on the one hand, you had the company asking for people to show them security problems with their website. Now, that means you and me and somebody next door and your friends and the average people. Okay, great. Thank you very much, and we'll fix them. Now, that's one area. But for someone to take that and to expand upon it and to say, I think I'll go ahead and hack into Zuckerberg's account, it shows a basic disrespect, I think, for what Facebook has represented to all of us. And it shows a ungodly and uncommon arrogance on the part of this Arab gentleman to decide, I think I'll just hack into the private account.
Yeah, but see...
Hold on, I'm not done yet.
He's not done, Phil.
To hack into the private account of Mark Zuckerberg, who made this world possible, who made this world of Facebook possible, I think that shows that he thought he would just push right through. I don't think anybody even... and where did he get the It defies description. And I think people need to sit down and get their heads together and wrap their heads around this. I need to wrap my head around it. And I hope you're able to wrap your head around it. Just get your head wrapped around it. And once you wrap your head around it...
My head's wrapped around it, okay?
Well, your head is wrapped around it. Okay.
Yeah, no, my head's wrapped around it. I think if I was Mark Zuckerberg...
Well, hold on, you're not Mark Zuckerberg.
All right, but let's just... All right, forget it. I won't say if I were Mark Zuckerberg. Standing here in the crowd where I am and looking at the grand throne upon which Mr. Zuckerberg sits...
Phil, don't be sarcastic. What we're trying to do here...
Well, you've set up this universe where I cannot criticize him, nor can I imagine myself to be him. So I'm simply saying that all of this, in a world of logic, points to only one thing. That this kid not only showed Facebook where they were letting down, he showed them where they were letting down in a very important place, which was the actual Facebook page of the founder and the CEO. And if I were them, I would thank him for that. I would, I would double, triple, quadruple the award, maybe create a whole new award category. You know, like if you can hack into our regular website, that's $500. But if you can hack into Mark Zuckerberg's account, that's a million. I don't know.
Well, and so what you're saying then, let's encourage people to do it. And you know that they're only going to be disappointed. You know that they're only going to wind up going to jail. And this guy ought to be he ought to be happy that Mr. Zuckerberg did not say, all right, now I want you to go to jail.
That is an excellent point. No one asked, they didn't say if you can hack into Mr. Zuckerberg's account. No one did, and he did anyway. And what would have been the proper thing to respond would have been, you're going to jail.
That's right. That's exactly right.
They're not going to say that.
Why aren't they going to say that?
Well, yeah, they're not going to say it because it's going to be PR that they cannot afford. They can't afford that. Let's go to a phone call. Our number is 877-876, excuse me, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. On the line here is Margaret Gray along with, Margaret Gray along with our friend here, Don Mixa. Don calling us from the University of Washington, where he is the professor of engineering. And we're talking tonight about Facebook and the accounts getting hacked into.
What was that number you were going to give out?
I was giving out our old number. Our current number is 855-500-7445. Ted Bell is with us. Ted, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really good, and I'm listening very carefully to the conversation of this evening. Don, how are you?
I'm doing good, sir.
And do you know who I am?
I'm not familiar, no.
It's Ted Bell.
I'm Ted Bell, and I'm the owner of Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Now, we're a pretty successful business ourselves. And we do quite a bit of business ourselves. Am I Mark Zuckerberg? The answer to that question is I don't want to be Mark Zuckerberg when you take a look and see at the problems that he's having. But here's the point that I want to make to you, and if I could, Don, and I'd like to hear you respond, and I'll hang up and wait for your answer. Mark Zuckerberg is the head of Facebook. Okay, good for him. I am the head of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Good for me. You are Don Mixa. You're the head of, well, Don Mixa. And good for you.
Right.
Now, if you or I or Mark Zuckerberg say to the public at length, you know what, we are proud of who we are, we're proud of what we've done, we're proud of what we do, and we're proud of what we can do. But if you can prove us wrong, if you can, if you will, loosen my belt and yank my pants down to around the height of my ankles in full view of the world, then, friend, I think you're entitled to a bounty. I think that takes a big man. Now, I'm Ted Bell. I'm willing to do that. You're Don Mixa. Are you willing to do that?
I think to anticipate what you're saying, sir.
No. Don't anticipate anything. Are you willing to do that?
I think that if somebody can do it, sure.
All right, if someone can do it, sure. And yet Mark Zuckerberg, you're saying, isn't man enough to stand there like a man, and if it can be done, let someone go ahead and give him the opening stages to a pressed ham. And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what the man meant by a pressed ham.
I don't either.
I'll tell you what I meant.
I thought you were going to hang up and listen.
I'm sorry. I'm going to hang up and I'll...
All right, well, I will say this. Mark Zuckerberg is not me, and he certainly isn't Ted Bell. He is his own man, and he's a guy that is going to go his own way. And just because I'm willing to have my weaknesses exposed, it doesn't mean that a guy like Zuckerberg is. I think you're dealing with a different kind of guy. It's a different time. It's a different place. There was an old song, I don't know if you remember it, Phil. It went something like this. It's about time. It's about space. It's about two men from outer space. It's about time, it's about space, and how they landed, and I forget how else it goes.
That's from a TV show.
Yes.
It's from a what?
It's from a television show. It's about time.
Oh, I don't care what it's from. I'm just telling you.
Well, what does it mean? How does it apply?
Margaret, I came on this program to talk to Phil, not you. Okay?
But...
I came on the show to talk to Phil, not you. Another man. Phil, the old saying, it's about time, it's about space.
That's not an old saying, that's a song. Okay?
Well, I gotta... All right, let me collect myself. And...
Yeah, you do that, man. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show talking with Don Mixa from the University of Washington. There's an old saying, it's about time, it's about space. As we discuss here, just where does Mark Zuckerberg get off, at what stop, and at what time... And really, when's the bus hit our stop on this whole, we will give you a bounty if y'all can prove that our website sucks on wheels. At least that was the idea. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're coming right back, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com. Famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. It's a brand new phone number. What do you want?
Yeah, butcher it up like you done another one.
Look at man, every time you get a new phone number, you wind up giving out the old one about 100 times before you finally get the new one. So that's just the way it goes. Our final segment here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington as we continue talking with him about the Zuckerbergs. Why did I say that?
Well, I think, where's Don? Don, are you there? Don Mixa, are you there?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
All right. Don, listen. So what were you going to say, Margaret?
I was going to say, did you hear Phil say the Zuckerbergs?
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm talking about. This is the, this is the tendency that the media has to turn the whole thing into a big Jewish conspiracy.
Why? Because I said Zuckerbergs? I thought of him as a couple of brothers.
Yeah, the whole, they thought of him as a couple of brothers. In other words, there's a huge Jewish monopoly on business.
No, it's just, it had to do probably with the way the whole business came about. Weren't there a couple of twins that were involved in this?
A couple of twins?
What are you talking about?
Didn't you see the movie Social Network?
Yeah, I did. They had a couple of twins, and they looked the same and everything.
A twin's gonna look the same, man. That's what they're called, twins.
Well, not all twins look the same.
Not all twins look the same. Some twins are what they call fraternal twins.
All right, who cares, okay? But the point is, there were a couple of twins that Zuckerberg met at wherever the hell it was, Harvard, Yale, someplace where all these eggheads were. And then I think there was one other guy. There were two twins, and there was one set of twins.
Well, if there's twins, there's only two of them.
I got it. And these twins, along with this other guy, wound up going to court. That's what I thought. I think they wound up, settling out of court or something because they said they helped found whatever it was, Harvard Facebook or the Facebook, something like that. Anyway, we're talking here with Don Mixa about the Zuckerberg Facebook page being hacked. Now, if Mr. Zuckerberg doesn't pay, what kind of public relations disaster, in your opinion, and I personally think it will be, do you think they'll be living through there?
There's not going to be a public... The reason why there won't be a public relations disaster is because, as I said, Mark Zuckerberg is a guy that we look to for example, Phil. You have to understand that Mark Zuckerberg is a man who we look to for our inspiration when it comes to business, when it comes to ideas, when it comes to innovation. Everything that you would imagine that is needed in business, we look to a guy like Zuckerberg. When you look at the rest of American business, when you look at the rest of the world's business, and you look at the failures that we produce one after the other, especially in this country, Mark Zuckerberg is a guy that gives us hope. He gives the average business person, the average entrepreneur, he gives us hope that there's possibly a little bit of gold at the end of that rainbow. Because, you know, we're walking around without a clue. And following behind us is the workforce. So they're waiting for us to come up with the ideas. And we're not going to have any ideas unless we've got the Mark Zuckerbergs. So you're not going to sue him. You're not going to try and turn this into a public relations disaster for Mark Zuckerberg. What you're going to try to do is keep that man as healthy as you possibly can, because without him, we are lost.
Well,
no, hold on. I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished. You heard what I said, right?
Without him, we're lost.
Yes. And I would encourage everyone listening to your broadcast tonight that even remotely considers themselves to be a business person. I would encourage anyone listening to your broadcast tonight that remotely considers themselves to be smart. Let's just talk about smart for a second. Let's just talk about brains for a second. I would consider anybody listening to your broadcast tonight that considers themselves to be intelligent. And I would very respectfully put forward to them that you haven't got brains enough to fill up the cranium of a decapitated fly compared to Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, my God. That is absolutely... Hold on.
That's pretty good, Mr. Mixa.
That is absolutely the truth, and I think I'm so glad, Don.
Thank you.
No, really, I'm glad that someone has said that.
All right, Don, those are very challenging observations. There's no question about that. Very challenging observations, but there's no need to denigrate the intelligence of people, is there?
I think there is an absolute need. Never before have we needed to denigrate the intelligence of people than now. You got a guy like Zuckerberg who has cornered the market on God knows how many billions of dollars. And he has made the rest of us look like a laughingstock. He's made the... And by the way, his initial public offering, you remember when they couldn't make the number? You remember that, right, Phil? You were making a big deal out of that.
I didn't make a big deal.
Yeah, you did. You made a big deal out of the fact they couldn't make their number on their IPO. Well, guess what? I hate to break the news, but they just blew right past it.
Okay, I'm glad they did. But the fact is, he didn't show very much intelligence there, did he?
It was a glitch. It was a bump in the road. My friend, when Mark Zuckerberg makes a mistake, it's a glitch. That's like lifting, excuse me for putting it this way, Margaret and ladies, it's like lifting your cheek off the seat of a nice chair and cutting one. That's when Mark Zuckerberg makes a mistake. That's what you call a mistake. He farts, okay? And that costs a few million, and he fixes it, and on he goes. For the rest of us, it's a big deal. And I think the mistake you made tonight was coming up with this Facebook hack job like this was.
Okay. All right, I understand that in your opinion. Hey, Don?
Don, don't do that.
Sorry.
I understand that in your opinion, it's not that big of a deal. Are you going to do that all night?
I'm just, Phil, all I'm doing is yanking your chain.
Would you listen to me for a minute?
All right.
I understand that in the overall scheme of things, Zuckerberg is a big, big wind, and the rest of us are little tiny sailboats. I'm going to hang up on you, man, if you keep doing that.
All right, I'm sorry.
I get that, and that's a valid point of view. That's a valid point of view. If you want people, though, to be favorably disposed to his business so that he continues to generate the goodwill of the public...
What are you talking about, the goodwill of the public? They can't do without Facebook. This isn't about Mark Zuckerberg having to go out there and do a sale job. People can't do without his product, my friend. People can't do without it. It's even better than a Harley Davidson, where people will tattoo Harley Davidson on their skin. You can live without a Harley Davidson. You can live very well without a Harley Davidson. You get yourself a Honda Road Cruiser, and you're living real good without a Harley Davidson. But some people... Most people can't do without Facebook.
Big deal. All right, hang up on him.
Well, do you blame him?
Yeah, I blame him. Grow up. Grow the hell up. Big deal. Here's where we are with all of this, folks. You got this kid on the West Bank of, on the West Bank there in Palestine, the Palestinian Authority, he's owed some money. And Facebook says they ain't going to pay him. I mean, geez.
Phil, you're not going to make an issue out of this. No one cares. Don was saying this is some guy in the bargain basement leather coat.
Yeah, I know. And he's got a bomb strapped around his waist.
Well.
What a stereotype. Well, I think that hacking into Zuckerberg, and I thought he was very respectful, by the way, hacking into Zuckerberg's page and not doing anything with it, like lifting some of the, some of the tastier, more choice items from there.
Wait, they do what I found.
I don't know. Could have been something really interesting. Who knows? All right, Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Coming up on our final hour of the program here tonight. Just kicking off into this week, man. It's a, I tell you, it can only get better. As I said, it'd been cloudy and nasty looking here over the last 5, 6, 7 days. And suddenly the sun has come out. So I think we've got a great, great week ahead of us here. We got a Bobby Dooley podcast coming up later on in the week with a special superstar guest. Stick around with us, PhilHenryShow.com. Hey, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. And it's a really groovy reboot thing here.
Wow.
It's our second week on the air as we climb back into the marvelous world of radio and climb back into the marvelous world of what they're now calling spoken word. And that means the same thing as talk radio, except now they're calling it spoken word instead of talk. And good to be with you. We have, as I mentioned, a website, philhenryshow.com. We have a Bobby Dooley podcast coming up. Bobby is a longtime member of our panel. She has been on the show quite a bit as a guest. And I'd like to ask her this hour about her guest, a special guest, a super duper kind of cool guest. She has interviewed on her podcast over the years, or not over the years, over this past year, Jay Moore, Joel McHale, Patty Arquette. I mean, she gets some pretty heavy hitter type of people. And so we're going to be talking to her about that and to her about, you know, some of the other things that that she may have cooking, man, there at the Homeowners Association. We've also got some sports. You know, football is upon us. And I don't know, I'm not really a huge football fan. I mean, I am a huge football fan, not a huge preseason football fan. There's some people that can't get enough of it. I tend to think people that can't get enough football are just people that live in cities where there isn't anything else, you know, going on.
Well, Frank was saying to me that there are cities like, if they don't have baseball, if they don't have baseball.
Okay, who would that be? Who has football but no baseball?
The Dodgers.
What about the Dodgers?
Are you kidding?
No, oh, the Dodgers are a baseball team.
Oh.
The Dodgers are a baseball team. What city has football but no baseball?
Well, like Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. They don't have Major League Baseball.
Well, what does that mean?
Indianapolis doesn't have a Major League Baseball team. They have a Triple-A baseball. So they don't, for all intents and purposes, they don't have a Major League team. So they don't have baseball. So Indianapolis is a good example. Who else?
Baltimore.
What do you mean Baltimore? They got the Orioles.
That's football.
No, man. The Baltimore Ravens.
Why don't you shut up, bud? Because you don't know what you're talking about, man.
You're talking about you have baseball.
Yeah, Baltimore's got baseball.
Take it easy, will you? Take it easy.
I know. Buffalo.
Buffalo what?
Buffalo, New York.
Well, there's more than one Buffalo.
Yeah, there is probably more than one Buffalo, but there's only one Buffalo that's got a football team. Buffalo, New York. So Buffalo, Indianapolis. I'm just thinking of towns where they're probably just dying to get their football team back, you know?
What about Boston?
Did I tell you to shut up?
What about them? They got the Red Sox.
They got the Boston Red Sox, okay?
Or no, I mean New England.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
What is?
Boston and New England are the same thing. It's the same city. It's the same market. It's the same thing, man, you know? New England Patriots, what are you, crazy? The New England Patriots are nothing unless they have Boston.
Yeah, well, they got New England, man. They got a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, they got way more.
It doesn't make any difference what New England's got. That doesn't matter. You think the New England Patriots care? Do you think they really honestly care at the end of the day whether they got New Haven or Portland, Maine? They could care less. If they ain't got Boston, they don't have a football team. It's as simple as that. It's like the Minnesota Vikings. It's like the, you know... You think they give one hoot and a holler about Minnesota? That's not going to pay the bills. They got to have at least that city. They got two cities, Minneapolis and what do they call it?
Well, what about the Green Bay Packers?
The Green Bay Packers, it's Milwaukee. That's what that is. It's Milwaukee. You know.
What?
Are you listening to me or do I got to belt you? You're talking about the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers, man, they're 90 miles away from Milwaukee.
The Green Bay Packers ain't got a football team unless they have a major metropolitan center from which to draw fans. Do you understand me?
No.
Okay. The major metropolitan center near Green Bay is Milwaukee. It's 90 miles away? Sure. And the other thing about Green Bay is they've got a long, long, long tradition of drawing from the state of Wisconsin. They're kind of different, so you shouldn't even have brought them up.
Well, that's dirty pool because, you see, on the one hand, you're saying...
Yeah.
I don't know anything about sports, so you're not going to make an ass out of me. But I'm saying, what about Chicago? Well,
what about Chicago? Yeah, it's Chicago.
All right, what about Denver?
You're just getting dumber as the day gets late, you know, as it gets later in the day, man. What do you mean, Denver? What, so?
But Denver, what's near that?
Denver is Denver. There ain't no anything near that.
What's the big city near Denver?
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Well, you're saying it's Denver.
You mean that's it? It's it?
Denver's it, yeah. What's the big city near Denver? So there's Denver, you know, but you got to have Denver. Oh, no, they got a baseball team. So Buffalo, Indianapolis, I don't know. What about New Orleans? New Orleans, the Saints.
They got no baseball.
They got no baseball team. They got no Major League Baseball team. And Jacksonville. Jacksonville's another one's got no Major League Baseball team. So there's just enough cities around the country with football, with no baseball. And I guess that's what makes it a thrill a minute, you know. Now you got L.A., our fine city. We're going on. How many years now we've been going on with no football team?
Frank was saying the other day that it's a disgrace that the city of Los Angeles doesn't have a professional football team. And I said to him, well, then, what are we going to do about it? And he said, I don't care. And so I said, well, if it's a disgrace, why don't you care? And he said, because you're supposed to say it's a disgrace. It really isn't. What does that mean?
Well, I think I know what Frank's talking about.
Yeah, what's it mean, though?
What it means is Frank's saying, yeah, yeah, it's a disgrace. We don't have a pro football. Nobody cares, though, because in L.A., you know, what with satellite television and with the transients of this city, and, you know, you've heard all the reasons, and they're all true. We've got, I mean, L.A. at one time was a real homer of a team when it came to, or homer of a city when it came to football, because we loved the Rams, and the Raiders had their moment. I don't think the Raiders were ever embraced by the city the way the Rams were. But when the Rams left and the Raiders left, they left at a time when television has really taken over the sport of football. And it just has. And so on any, especially with DirecTV now, buying an NFL package, you get all the games. Who's going to get up off their ass and go down to the stadium unless you got really good seats? The only reason why I would go down to a football stadium to see a game live is if I had 50-yard line seats, man. You know, and I had, or I had a luxury box, something like that. I ain't going down there to sit in the end zone and to battle all kinds of jackballs for parking and for something to eat. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, that's what Frank was saying. But Frank was saying that if the Los Angeles whatever played at the new farmer, farmer land or whatever it's called.
Farmer's Field.
Yes. That we would have a luxury box. And I said, well, I will go to the game if we have a luxury box, but only if.
Well, somehow I...
Yay! Big deal! So you got money.
Thank God we do.
Farmer House.
Well, what is it?
It's called Farmer's Field because that's apparently who's going to sponsor it, Farmer's Insurance. But, you know, who knows? Who knows if that's ever going to happen? All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Dick Van Dyke was in his car today on the 101 freeway. You know, the actor from the Dick Van Dyke Show, Mary Tyler Moore, all them cats. And he's sitting there in his car, and he's minding his own business, and the damn car decides to catch on fire, just like that. And then, right after they pulled Mr. Van Dyke from the car, and just in the nick of time, the car explodes. So we're going to talk about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com and watch our live-streaming video of the show right now if you want, as well as our podcast tomorrow and our classic podcast at philhenryshow.com. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And, you know, but more than anything else, we just try to have a good time. It's very interesting how having a good time these days is...
It's not such a good time. But I think having a good time is important. But I also think it's important to be... What is that noise I'm hearing in my head?
Nothing.
Turn down all that hiss. What are you doing anyway, man?
All I'm trying to do is reboot his iPod.
Will you get out of here with your iPod?
Trying to get it all loaded. I'm trying to get it loaded.
Trying to get it loaded?
Trying to upload or download. Download this, man. Huh?
Yeah, well, you're dirty.
All right, so welcome back to the show. Now, what the hell are we going to talk? Oh, yeah. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here as we talk with him about a very, very unfortunate incident, and thank God everything, all's well that ends well, as they say, for our good friend there, Dick Van Dyke, and Mr. I say good friend, I don't know the man at all.
Well, I wouldn't say he's your good friend.
I know, take it easy, Margaret, okay?
Well, if you know him, I happen to know him.
Okay, you know him. Would you call him your good friend?
I would say that I know him. You don't, and I...
Yeah, well, you gotta be careful.
I don't have to be careful of anything. God.
What are you all upset about?
I said our good friend Dick Van Dyke just to say be a nice guy, and you're all, ooh.
Boy, you really are. Look at, just because you don't know the ones that I know the ones you don't know.
Yeah, she knows a lot of them.
Ain't that something else? Ooh, well, I'm just all blown away.
And please watch your language.
What does that mean, watch my language?
Blown?
I said blown away. Jay, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing real good. Thanks for having me on your program. Sounds like you're having a little bit of a family squabble there. I understand totally. But thank you very much.
What do you understand?
Well, Ms. Gray, I'm just trying to say that I am familiar with Mr. Dyke, or Mr. Van Dyke, too, and I am very familiar with him.
Are you friends with him?
I would say that in my mind, I am friends with him. I've admired him for a long time. I'm very nervous because you're asking me questions that...
Yes, I'm asking you some questions here that you don't have the right answers to.
Listen, Margaret, no one's impressed me the least in who you know. I'm talking to Mr. Santos now about the Citizens Auxiliary Police and their safety precautions to see if we can't avoid what happened on the freeway today there with Mr. Van Dyke, even though you have a volunteer police force, Jay, that has no real enforcement power.
Well, what you did right there, Phil, is you paid me a compliment and you kicked me right between the legs at the same time.
I was going to say...
No, I didn't.
Well, we do have... Hold on for just a minute. What we are talking to you about, Phil, is not so much whether we have arrest powers. We are concerned Citizens Auxiliary Police, concerned... Roger. We are concerned with the safety of our fellow citizens, and certainly there's nothing that you won't make fun about that. Why you won't make fun of that?
I'm not trying to make fun of you, Jay. I have to let everybody know that you aren't exactly... You've had run-ins with the police. You guys are out there trying to do enforcement, and in some instances, you have no right.
I would not say that we have no right, Mr. Henry. You and I have been down. We have done this dance before. You know, I've twirled you, you've twirled me, and then I've gone off and gotten punched. So,
Well, okay, that's a really... I'm not comfortable with that comparison. Anyway...
Well, I think that what Phil is saying here, Jay, is you aren't a cop, so quit pretending you're a cop.
All right, well, then I'll quit pretending I'm a cop, you won't quit pretending that you know Dyke.
That I'm a dyke?
No, that you know...
Are you talking about Dick Van Dyke?
Yes, sir.
Then say it, okay?
You called me a dyke, or are you talking about Dick Dyke?
I'm talking about Dick Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke is his name.
I'm sorry, Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke, that's exactly correct.
Okay, so today on the freeway, Mr. Van Dyke, you know, have a little respect here, okay?
I've got nothing but respect for Mr. Van Dyke. I got nothing but respect for Mr. Van Dyke. I come on your program, and Ms. Gray is already trying to create a hassle where no hassle exists.
There was no hassle existing until you came on here and made the claim that you happen to be tight, real butthole tight, excuse me for saying, with Dick Van Dyke.
I didn't say I was butthole tight. I said... that I, in my mind, okay, in my mind, I feel as if I know him.
All right, that's great, Jay, but that doesn't have any relationship to the planet Earth. You know, if you know him, you know him. If you don't, you don't. In your mind doesn't count. So let's get to what it is we want to talk about. Tell me what you know about what happened out there on the freeway today.
Well, can I ask something?
No, you may not. No, you can't.
Yeah, that's right, you can't.
Oh, well, okay. Yes, Daddy.
I'm sorry, but we're wasting time.
Bill, what happened out there on the 101 today, my understanding was out near Calabasas. I know you know that area very well because you drive that just about every day, correct?
I do.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, give it to a friend.
So sorry, mate.
Roger.
What was that? That sounded like a kid's toy.
No, that was not answer. Police, shut up. So the...
And I will not have him tell me to shut up, Phil.
All right, I'm going to throw you out of here, Margaret, and I'm going to hang up on you, Jay, and I'll be rid of both of you, and I'll just do the rest of the show with me and Bud and Robert. How's that sound?
I don't...
I said I'll throw you out and I'll hang up on him.
Fine.
Sorry.
So what happened today, Jay, out there on the 101 with Mr. Van Dyke?
Phil, what happened was Dick Van Dyke was traveling, in my understanding, in a northerly direction on the 101 freeway in a Jaguar, and he was with his wife, Arlene, when apparently... Stand by. Yeah, I've got a thing. When apparently the car had some problem, electrical or otherwise, some motor or locomotion problem. The car was not able... In other words, the car wasn't driving no more, so he had to pull over. And he really didn't pull over. It's just because the car shut off, he just coasted over and then hit the brakes and it stopped, you know. But And so...
Okay, fine. I got it.
All right. And so then he was leaned over to make a call to the emergency road crew. And what happened was the car caught fire. Well, he didn't see it. Well, apparently his wife got out of the car, Arlene, and Mr. Van Dyke was calling, and the car's on fire, and his wife, Arlene, is out of the car, and he's leaned over, and he's making a call. So he didn't see it. His wife, Arlene...
Okay, his wife got out of the car. He's making the call.
Oh, did I already go through that?
Yes.
You're already down through that part.
Okay, where am I now?
He's make the call. She's out of the car. The car's on fire.
All right. The car's on fire. And that's when a good Samaritan came over and opened the door and grabbed Mr. Van Dyke by the arm and said, let's go, you got to get out of here because the car is on, in fact, fire, was a good Samaritan. Now, I don't know what that means, a good Samaritan, but I was seeing that in a lot of the news.
Do you read the Bible?
What does that got to do with it?
Because it's in the Bible. The good Samaritan was a stranger that helped a man. He helped Jesus. I don't know, but he's a guy that's a stranger that helps you. And he was from Samaria. So they called him the Good Samaritan. And it's a biblical story to illustrate the worthiness and the efficacy of helping someone even though you don't know them. You're just a stranger, and you help another stranger, and it's a good thing.
Well, whatever. I mean, I was just asking. So.
Well, that's why they called him that, because it was a man who didn't know Mr. Van Dyke, you know.
Well...
That's stretching it a little bit.
Why is that stretching it?
Well, Mr. Henry, he's Dick Van Dyke. You're going to look down there and let him burn up? I wouldn't.
Well, how do you know he knew who he was?
Dick Van Dyke is one of the most recognizable people in the history of American television.
That may be as it is, but the fact is, you don't necessarily know that the guy that saw Dick Van Dyke recognized him. He just saw a man in the car leaning over a phone.
How do you know what he saw? You know.
See, this is what he does, Jay. He's always telling me what's up, and he won't listen to me.
Wait a minute. Just a second. What you guys are trying to tell me now is this guy looked down and saw that it was Dick Van Dyke and decided to pull him out of the car.
I'm saying that that's the most likely scenario.
Yes.
That's the most likely scenario. Not that there's just a guy who sees a man in a car and the car's on fire and he decides to reach in and pull him out.
I doubt seriously. Are you going to do that? Am I going to do that?
Yes, I would.
Oh, right. Are you serious? And you're going to risk getting blowed up?
Are you gonna? Yeah, seriously, Mr. Henry.
I don't know that anybody thinks about that. I don't know that anyone in a moment like that is thinking about, you know, whether I'm going to get blowed up or not, as you said, Margaret.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did, Margaret. You said blowed up.
Yeah, I did.
No, I did not. I wouldn't speak that way.
I thought I heard you say blowed up, too, but I could be wrong.
Well, you're all wrong.
All right, fine. We're wrong.
Well, I can tell you all think you're right, though.
It doesn't matter. The point is, I don't know that anybody thinks about that. I think you see a human being that's in trouble. And the first instinct that most people have, regardless of the danger involved, is to reach over and try to save them. That is almost a reflexive, instinctive thing. Call me crazy, call me nuts, I don't know. That's what I think about that. All right, folks, we're going to be back here with more from Margaret Gray and Bud and Robert and, of course, our a good friend Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk with them about this episode today on the freeway with Dick Van Dyke, who was in his car with his wife. He was in his Jaguar. I have a Jaguar, by the way.
Big deal.
In any event, he was in his Jag, and apparently it had some kind of problem. They pulled over to call 911 or to call, you know, AAA. I think he said he was calling AAA, as a matter of fact. And the next thing you know, the car's on fire. His wife gets out. Mr. Van Dyke is still dialing for help. And someone comes along and pulls him from the car. Just ahead of the car, there was another explosion of some kind in the front end of the car. So very interesting. Very, very. And the car was just blackened. I mean, blackened. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here at 855-500-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. It's the online home of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And there are people that are saying, why are you always pitching your website? Why are you always pitching your website? I'm
pitching my website, man, the same way a lot of guys pitch their website. What the hell's the problem here? So, and if they want a little something more of the Phil Henry experience, well, they can just go there.
Yeah. Good time, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, so Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, joining us. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Now, and I say online because we're doing a live video cast of our show right now, so if you are interested at all in, you know, watching as well as listening to the show, you can do that. Jay, we're talking about Dick Van Dyke and the incident that happened on the 101 freeway, and I forget where we left off, as a matter of fact. It's been so bloody confused. Let's take a phone call.
I don't know where we are.
Well, Mr. Henry, I was trying to explain to you, you know, when you go over to get a man out of a car.
You were trying to explain to me when you go over and get a man. I don't even know what we were talking about. But I know we were talking about Mr. Van Dyke getting out of the car just ahead of the fire crew, the Good Samaritan. That's what we got bogged down in.
What do you mean bogged down?
Because I got to explain everything to you, sir. You don't. Let's go over here. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Phil. I'm enjoying your program, and you have my sympathies talking to this gentleman because I was northbound on the 101 freeway this afternoon, approximately 1:58 p.m. And my wife and I were going to. Is that funny? Yes, northbound, we were going to the doctor. We live southbound of the 101 freeway, and at that time,
sir, this is Jay Sanders. You say that you saw it.
I would ask this gentleman to please be quiet while I finish my thoughts. I have some of my thoughts that are still fresh in my mind as to the events of this afternoon, and I don't need you, sir, with all due respect, polluting and plugging my mind up like a plug of sewage in the drain pipe.
Yeah, I understand, sir. Go ahead.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Henry, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right. And so, is this you, Mr. Henry, or is that the other guy?
It's me, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. When my wife and I were northbound on the 101 freeway, as I was saying, and we what is that noise?
Hold on for me, sir. Roger. 1252.
Oh, baloney. Are you trying to pretend? What are you, Captain Video or something?
Yes, sir, I'm not trying to make fun of you.
All right.
Sir, just go ahead and tell your story. Mr. Santos has a police radio there.
I'll bet he's got a... The only thing this guy's got is a Dick Tracy...
Sir, excuse me, I got a lot more on Dick Tracy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. I'm just outraged listening to this man babbling his way through the saving of a human life. For God's sake, I was in the United States Navy in Korea, and I can assure you that if we saw a man in a Jaguar burning, we wouldn't have to wait 5 seconds.
Hello, Lloyd. This is Margaret Gray. How are you, dear?
Yes, dear. I'm fine.
When would you see a man burning in a Jaguar in Korea?
If we saw a man in Korea, I don't know. But if I saw a man pulled over to the side of a road in Korea in a Jaguar...
In a 2013 Jaguar?
Yes, in a 2013 Jaguar, even though it was 1951. I don't know what's possible in the space-time continuum that is the war.
Okay, you know what, Lloyd? Thank you very much.
Oh, great. Now, you think I'm fattier than three...
All right, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Frank Gray is on the line. Margaret, your husband Frank. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm better than Custer, young man. Listen, I want to talk to this guy, Santos. Mr. Santos, you there?
Yes, sir. Jay Santos, how are you here, sir?
Well, I'm doing fine. Listen, I happen to know the Van Dyke family very carefully, and I know that she's not an idiot.
Don't know his wife?
No, I'm not talking about her wife. I'm talking about her. If you'll listen to me, I know that she is no idiot, and I know the first thing that Dick Van Dyke will do is protect her wife. And if she told her to get out of the car, then I'm telling you right now, then she would only tell her to get out of the car to help save him.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Dick Van Dyke and her personal assistant.
Wasn't her personal assistant there, Bob?
No, I think it was just Mr. Van Dyke and his wife.
Oh, okay. I thought that she told her to get him out of the car. Well, if she told him to get out of the car, then it must have been just the two of them. And she must have told him to get out of the car. And maybe he caught his skirt. I don't know.
All right, so you're saying that Dick Van Dyke was very mindful and very courageous in getting his wife out of the car.
You better believe it. And I don't know who this guy here is, but whatever it is she thinks she's saying, she's an idiot. Let me ask you something, buddy. Jay, is that your name?
Yes, sir. My name's Jay Sounds.
And what is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Kathy.
All right, does he approve of you?
Who?
Your wife. Does he approve of you?
Okay, somebody. There's a lot of screwy stuff to hear, Sam.
All right, just, Jay, why don't you hang on for a minute? Go ahead, Frank.
Well, I want to talk to her because she's the one that's causing all these problems.
Well, you can't talk to him right now because he's...
All right, well, I'll just tell you this much. I happen to know Dick Van Dyke, and she's one of the funniest guys I ever met in my life. And she and I get together over shots and beers and talk about our wives. And, of course, we both love our wives very much. She loves him, and I love him. And I was shocked that thank God Almighty that she's okay and that her wife, he's okay too.
You bet.
All right, young man.
Thank you very much, Frank Gray. Jay?
Yeah, what's going on with that guy? He's about as goofy as two coats of paint.
What?
All right, just never mind, okay? We're talking here with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So apparently you're taking it from all sides here, if you'll pardon the expression.
I'm not sure. I'm taking it from what?
In other words, you're getting a lot of grief here. And, Jay, how else do you see getting someone out of a car? To think that someone is going to pull a guy from a car because he's a celebrity.
Yeah, that's it. That was the point that I was trying to make, okay? That's before all. I think that Dick Van Dyke got pulled out of that car because people recognize him as Dick Van Dyke and nothing else. And if they only thought that he was anybody, you know, that he were crooked.
Well, I refuse to believe that about the human race.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you, if you've been down the roads I've been down, I've been down some dirt, I've been down. I wouldn't go up no road at all. But I've been down a lot of roads, and...
What do you mean you wouldn't go up any road?
Well, because I think that denotes a certain orientation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jay.
What do you hang up for?
You know, I'm done with your stupid jackball talking. How about that? God! I wouldn't go up any roads because that denotes a...
Well, Jay's got a point.
He ain't had a point since we've talked to him on the air all low these many years ago. So all's well that ends well for Mr. Van Dyke. Although we did have a camera crew there from TMZ, and the guy called him, hey, at one point, because it's a very, very young crew, and Dick Van Dyke's 87 years old. I got to tell you something about Dick Van Dyke. At 87, that cat is doing pretty good, man. I mean, He was very lucid, and he looked pretty good for 87, too. Full head of hair and smiling and grateful to be alive. And he was very conversant with the guys in the guys who had the cameras there. You know, it's pretty heavy, man. How does TMZ figure out that that's Dick Van Dyke's car?
Well, I think probably the paparazzi is following him, don't you?
Well, with all due respect to Mr. Van Dyke, who's following him around? I mean, I'm not saying that he's not a big name. He is. But are there really cats that are just, hey, there's Dick Van Dyke. Let's see what happens to him.
They've probably got some guys that they've assigned to Dick Van Dyke duty. What do you mean Dick Van Dyke duty, man? I don't know doing that.
Dick Van Dyke duty? I mean, I think that probably what they have is a fair amount of good luck followed by good instincts. And, of course, on any given day, on any freeway in this town, there's bound to be some cat with a camera. I don't know. His wife, Arlene, is the one who okayed. She released the video. So am I to believe that TMZ asked permission of the family?
Did you say Arlene released it?
According to the story, Arlene, Dick Van Dyke's wife, is the one who released the video to the media right after it happened. I don't know. All right, sports fan. You don't suppose... Nah, I wouldn't believe that.
Well, Did Dick Van Dyke set fire to his own car?
No, he didn't do anything of the sort. All right, folks, we're going to... Yeah, I refuse to believe anything like that. Absolutely, positively, dopey. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Our number, of course, is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. And we're going to come back with our final segment of the program here. Don't forget Bobby Dooley with a podcast later in the week. She's got a special guest, a special heavy-osity guest that she'll be talking about, I'm sure, on the show. Do we have Bobby coming up? All right, this final segment, Bobby's going to join us and tell us just exactly what she's got. And by that, I mean what she's got for an interview for a podcast later on. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry Show here at 855-500-7445 and philhendryshow.com. And this quarter hour, we're going to get Bobby Dooley on the line here. Bobby has her podcast, the Bobby Dooley Podcast, which has turned into quite the, well, it's a hit if she keeps on doing them.
Yeah, she's gotten a little bit lazy. I'm not going to criticize Bobby because that'll just slow the show down. But if you want people to listen to your podcasts, you've got to do a few of them.
All right, let's get Bobby. Hi, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for the advice that I don't need. Margaret?
I'm not trying to give you any advice.
Right, hold on. I don't want to get... Thank you very much, Margaret. Anyway, Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Phil.
All right. So you have a very special guest coming up on the Bobby Dooley Podcast. Who is it?
Well, Phil, we're really excited. I don't know myself. I'm very excited. And I'm really excited about Henry Rollins will be on our podcast. And
all right, so you don't sound like you know who Henry Rollins is.
I do know who Henry Rollins is. He was in Black Flag. I know all about Henry Rollins' work as a solo artist, but it was not anything that I could say that I went and saw because of the fact that I was very young.
So what are you saying?
Excuse me, am I going to have to talk to her?
Margaret, would you just...
Fine.
No, I don't understand.
What I'm saying is that I love Henry Rollins. I love Black Flag. I love Henry Rollins, the actor. I love Henry Rollins, the performance artist. I love Henry Rollins, the artist. But for the longest time, I had to tell people that I hated him and I hated everything that he stood for because he was very counter to the things that I supported in order for me to get where I needed to be. Okay.
All right, so in other words, you were just playing it so that you could climb some sort of a social ladder, and liking Henry Rollins was not part of that?
No, I wasn't climbing a social ladder, Phil. I was climbing a social ladder, but not the way you put it. You know.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, you're saying, were you climbing a social ladder? I wasn't doing it like that.
Well, how were you doing it? Were you doing it like this? I was climbing a social ladder.
You know, Phil, I can hang the phone up just as fast as anybody.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I'm just trying to, you know... So, in other words, you were not allowed to like Henry Rollins.
No, the boyfriends that I had refused for me to like Henry Rollins. Or they would get violent.
Or they would get violent. Get a load of that.
What are you talking about? Yeah, what's that mean? They beat you up?
My boyfriends did not approve of Henry Rollins' music because they all liked, and I did too, REO Speedwagon.
REO Speedwagon?
Well, Phil, you know, quit acting like you're the arbiter of good taste.
I'm not. I'm just, you know, you were supposed to like... You went out with guys that wanted you to like REO Speedwagon.
Yes, and the girl that did Gloria. Gloria, Gloria did it. That was,
Laura Branigan.
Laura Branigan. I saw her at the Universal Amphitheater. So, I did like Henry Rollins and Black Flag... But, like, Jeff Sircone didn't want me to go see them. Dave Gillian didn't want me to go see them. Stu Roberts didn't like them. His father didn't like them.
So all these guys that you went out with were a bunch of what? Jackasses with the Letterman sweater?
No, this was the 80s still. Nobody was really all that Letterman. Although, you know, there was still very much a divide. But we liked... I'll tell you who we liked. We liked Katrina and the Waves. 99 Lust Balloons. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was great. So...
Oh, big... You know, you're such a big man.
Hey, Bobby, what is it with you? Did you like Black Flag or didn't you?
I did.
Then what are you all getting on me for? 99 Luft balloons. What's that mean?
It means red balloons. I'm sorry.
It means red balloons.
Well, what is that, man? Is that some song?
Yeah, that's a song by Katrina and the Waves. It was pop. It was punk.
The hell, it was punk. It was punk. That's a hot one. So who else did you like?
I liked all those groups. I liked Los Microwaves. I liked Concrete Blonde. I liked all the L.A. bands at that time, you know, but my boyfriends would...
Did they beat you? I want to know. This is Margaret.
They did. They punched me, yeah.
Your boyfriends punched you if you liked...
If I said that I liked them. One night I wanted to go down to Madame Wong's and I wanted to go see Robert Fripp and Oingo Boingo and Stu Galland, who I was going out with at the time. He was a big REO Speedwagon fan and he punched me in the mouth.
What?
Oh, my God. Where is he now?
Oh, you can't touch him. He's a big wig in the state of Utah. Not Utah, no. Wyoming, something like that.
Punched you in the mouth?
But did he knock your teeth out or something?
No, but I mean, I had a fat lip.
Because why? Because you wanted to go where?
I wanted to go down to Madame Wong's.
Madame Wong's down in China. Madame Wong's is a club.
I can explain it as good as you, Phil. Madame Wong's is a club in L.A., okay?
Fine, go ahead.
That's all I said.
It was in Chinatown.
I said that too.
No, you didn't. Phil did.
Well, who cares? So you went to Madame Wong's and you saw Robert Fripp.
Yeah, I saw Robert Fripp and Oingo Boingo. And when I came home, Stu was there. And he's all, you did what? And he punched me.
I have to ask, I got to ask Shane, did we take our break at the 45, Shane? Okay, good. So he punched you in the mouth.
Yeah, and he said, you know, I have tickets to REO Speedwagon, don't you? And he said, and I also had tickets to see the guy that did Sad Eyes, Robert John, or not Robert John, Sad Eyes, and then Paul Davis. I go crazy when I look in your eye. I go crazy. You know that song?
Yeah.
We had tickets to see him.
And instead, you went and saw Oingo Boingo and Robert Fripp. What an idiot.
Why am I an idiot?
Oh, all of a sudden, she's an idiot.
Well, I didn't say she deserved to get punched. Stu Galland was one of the most eligible. I'm older than you, I understand. But I know the family. Very wealthy.
Well, I'm not going to compromise my beliefs.
Well, good for you, Bobby. You stuck up for Black Flag and Henry Rollins, and you wound up getting punched out because your boyfriend had tickets to see Paul Davis and REO Speedwagon.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. But you know what? Years later, it's paid off because you got Henry Rollins on your podcast this week.
Well, that is true. And I'll probably say to him, you know, Henry, I took a...
Yeah, I'd love to hear you tell Henry Rollins what you took in order to stay loyal to him.
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would.
Okay, I'll tell you. I took...
Never mind what you took. We already know you took a punch. And that's above and beyond the call of duty. All right, Bobby, God bless you. Thanks for being with us. We're looking forward to your podcast this week with Henry Rollins. Bobby Dooley.
Thanks, everybody.
How about that, huh?
You're going to get punched out about it.
So her boyfriend had tickets to take her to the Universal to see REO Speedwagon. Instead, she said, I want to go see Henry Rollins, and he belted her.
Why do you find that funny? I don't think it's funny at all.
You're right. It's not funny. I apologize. Okay, so that's what Bobby has in store for y'all. By the way, if you are a backstage pass holder, you're going to be seeing an email coming to you today or tomorrow. It's a big email blast telling you what we all have in store for you. And that's always a good way that we stay in touch with our BSPs. We've got some pretty exciting things ahead as we continue our reboot here for the next 30 days. We've got some events that we've got planned. We have some special broadcasts that we have planned. We have some special... We got all kinds of special everything that we're going to have planned for you guys. So we do suggest that you hang around the radio here, and if you so choose, join us online at philhendryshow.com. Now, tomorrow morning, we'll have a podcast of tonight's show. We'll also have the video cast in the archive of tonight's show, and we will have a classic archive podcast as well. I think it's Lloyd Bonafide. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about. It may be his Hitchkick one, for all I know. I don't. But I think that's what we have coming up for tomorrow on the Classic Podcast. Later in the week, I want to let you guys know that on Thursday night, I have a function that I must attend. It's almost like your teacher telling you, I have a teacher's meeting to attend, so... But I do have a function to attend. I'll let you guys know what's up with that as we proceed through the week. But like I said, a lot of surprises ahead, so stick around the radio here at philhenryshow.com and make sure, as I said, get your backstage pass. For Robert and for Bud and for Margaret and for all of our guests tonight, including Bobby there and REO Speedwagon, I'm Phil Henry. See you cats tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Pacific and 10 o'clock on the East Coast.